হাবিবে কিরদিগার, মে তেরা আশিক তেরা
আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া
দিগার।
রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। মে দি পিস এন্ড ব্লেসিংস অফ আল্লাহ বি অন টু আস। ওয়েলকাম এন্ড জাযাকাল্লাহ ফর জয়নিং আওয়ার উইকলি ক্লাস ওয়ে উই ডিসকাস টপিক্স টু এনহান্স আওয়ার স্পিরিচুয়ালিটি এন্ড অলসো বি ফার্ম এন্ড রিজলভড ইন আওয়ার ফেথ। Today, inshallah, we shall be looking at the concept of rewards and blessings in Islam. This is very important topic, and I'm going to read some relevant verses from the Holy Quran that are in line with this topic. I'll be reading from chapter number 59, Surah Al-Hashr, verse 19. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. The translation of the verse recited is, O ye who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul look to what it sends forth for the morrow, and fear Allah. Verily, Allah is all aware of what you do. Islam teaches us that this very world that we live in is only a temporal phase of our existence. From the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty makes it clear that just as we came from some form of life into this world, we would definitely transit from this world also into a different world, which is in fact the ultimate goal of our creation. But then in order to transit from here to the next world, and also to enjoy the everlasting life of bliss, which has been described as Jannah in the Holy Quran, translated as paradise or heaven, the passport to guarantee this journey, successful journey, through that everlasting bliss in the life to come, is going to be blessings, good deeds, and also rewards. So this is very clear, and I believe there are several other religions that also share this, you know, concept, that this world is not our ultimate goal. We will definitely live here and go to a different world. And over there, the life we are going to live over there will be determined by how we operate or how we function in this world. Therefore, Islam encourages us to always do good deeds, which would be a way to facilitate our journey through the ultimate goal. The definition Islam gives to paradise and or heaven and hell is that hell is not a permanent place. Hell is only a place to serve as a temporary remedy to cleanse those who are not qualified to enter paradise or heaven. I believe this is a topic that, inshallah, in some other subsequent class, we might have time to explain into details. But then, one thing that is fundamental in all this discussion is that Islam teaches us that when we come into this world, we come here without anything. This is very important that we come into this world without any sin. Unlike some other concept, I stated earlier that in terms of the concept of life after death and also journeying from this world to paradise, which is the ultimate goal, I had said that we share with some other religions. But then when it comes to exactly how we come into this world and also how we either we become sinful or we are deserving of reward, there is a great variation in how other religions present their case. Now, in Christianity, as we know, most Christians of today believe that we are born in sin. That is, we inherited sin from Adam and Eve. And until a person accepts the blood of Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, one cannot be saved. Now here, Islam teaches us that we come into this world without sin. The sayings of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he says that a person is born innocent, without sin. And then we begin to either earn good deeds or bad deeds when a person is around the age of 7. The age when a person or a child is able to distinguish between good and evil. Which means that when a child is not up to 7 years and the child passes away, per this description, that child will be admitted to paradise. But then if we take the Christian variation, the Christian narration, that a child is born into this world with sin, it will go to mean that when a child is not, or a child dies, and that child doesn't have the consciousness to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, that child still has the sin, and once a person cannot go to paradise or heaven with sin, then automatically it translates to say that that child will go to hell. This is, you know, an act of wickedness if it is supposed to be like that. In the sayings of the Messenger of Allah, he says that every individual, once you pass the age of 7, where you know what is good and what is bad, two angels are assigned to you. So we all have these two angels, one on your right and one on the left. The one on your right literally writes down or records all the good deeds you do. And the one on your left records all the bad deeds that you do. So here it is clear that we become deserving of Allah's reward and blessings based on the actions that we undertake here. We are not pre-programmed, or we don't have any sin by default. If you are becoming sinful, it is based on your own conduct. And if a person is becoming deserving of reward, then it is also based on your conduct. That is what Islam describes. In the previous episodes, we have stated some of the attributes of Allah, one of them being Allah the Merciful. Since Allah the Almighty is merciful, and in the Holy Quran, he has stated that my mercy outweighs my anger or my punishment. The Holy Quran states something which is very interesting. In chapter number 6, verse 161, Allah the Almighty says, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرٌ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. This translates to say that whosoever does a good deed, that is, if a person, after attaining the age we've spoken about, the age of consciousness, knowing the difference between good and bad, if a person decides to do a good deed, Allah the Almighty says in this verse that you are rewarded 10 times the reward which is assigned for that particular act of good deed. We don't know the unit that is used to measure, but every good deed has an apportioned unit, definitely for it. So for instance, if by giving water to your fellow human being to drink has a unit reward of 5, when you do that, the Holy Quran says you're going to get 10 times the reward which is assigned for that. But then if you do an evil deed, you get 1 reward, or you get a reward equal to the apportioned or the assigned punishment or whatever it is. This is further elaborated in one hadith where he says that when a person thinks of doing good deed, even though the person has not done it, you get 1 unit of good deed recorded for you. And then when you put it into practice, you get 10 times the unit which is assigned for that particular good act. And he goes on to say that between that 10 and 700 times, there is no limit, which means that the minimum is going to be 10 times. So for instance, if you think of giving water to somebody to drink, and the unit of reward there, just for the sake of analysis, is 5. Once you think of giving the person that water to drink, you get your 5 points. But then if you actually put it into practice, you get between 50, and you can multiply 700 by 5. That is going to be like 3,500. So within that, nothing stops you. But then if you think of, for instance, pouring somebody's water away, which is going to be an act of sin, if the unit of sin or bad deed assigned to it is 5, once you think about it, you don't get anything until you actually put it into practice, then you get 1. So this is how merciful Allah the Almighty is. I believe it might look a little bit, complicated, but then I want to bring it down to some of the basic things that we know. All of us, we cherish, money. And then we are aware and familiar with the way banks operate. We live now in a world that even if you have a certain amount of money and you store in your own house, your own money, you can be arrested and prosecuted because you did not send the money to bank. So let's use the banking system and use money. So when a person is born, what Islam says is that it is like an account has been opened for you. Once you reach the age 7, an account is opened for you. You are not in any debt, or nothing is put in ahead for you. Now you begin to put funds or money into that account. And once you put money there, it is going to be recorded as credit. Once you decide to take money from that account, it will be recorded as debit. So definitely at the end of the month, your statement will be given to you, and you would have idea how much money went in and how much money went out. Now, if the amount of money that went in is more than the amount of money that went out, then it means you have something positive to your credit. So basically, your statement is going to be prepared. And then if your sin is more than, or your bad deeds are more than, it outweighs your good deeds, you cannot go to Jannah, paradise, or heaven straight away. You would have to be taken to hell to undergo certain cleansing experience. It's almost like when a person is sick and has some contagious disease, that person cannot be allowed to live in the midst of people who are healthy. So you'll be taken to hospital. In some cases, you can be quarantined, and in some cases, you may be given injections. Even in some cases, you may be operated upon in order to take away that ailment. Once you recover, then you are allowed to live with people who are healthy. This is the concept of paradise and hell. And as I said, we would find time to go deeper into it. But then, for the purpose of the topic we are discussing, how we become sinful and how we become deserving of reward, Islam teaches us that we build it right here on earth. It doesn't take you believing in somebody's blood, or you are not a person is not born with sin. If that is going to be the case, that will be an unjust experience from God the Almighty. Something that even human beings would not do to their fellow human beings. Looking at the example I gave, take for instance, you open an account with a particular bank, or you know of a particular bank, that this particular bank, once you open an account, even if you don't draw anything from that account, you are already debited. Your account is already in balance. I mean, in negative, that you owe them. I don't think any of us would like to operate with such financial institutions. If anything at all, if we are allowed, if it was okay for us to inherit something, then I believe inheriting reward makes much sense than inheriting sin. If we go back to the Bible's story of Adam and Eve, I don't think Adam and Eve, the only thing they did in the Garden of Eden was committing sin. They might have also done some act of good deeds. Islam presents this to us in a very beautiful way, that we build the next world, we build it from here. I think that it is the misunderstanding and also failure to understand this concept is the result that we see in our society. If a person understands that whatever he or she does is going to be recorded against them, and somebody somewhere is not going to take that sin, definitely we would all be mindful of what we do. But if there is a teaching which tells you that do anything you like, and rest assured that somebody has already paid for that sin, just accept that person as your Lord and personal savior, then definitely nobody will be encouraged or will be motivated to do act of goodness. Now, Islam teaches us and gives us several avenues, several sources that we can do good deeds. There are quite a number of them. Some of them, in fact, you would even be so amazed that doing such act, it is recorded also as good deed. The biggest source of blessings or good deed is the salat, the prayer that we offer, the five daily prayers. It plays two major roles. One, it enables you to get more reward into your account, as I have explained. And then two, it also wipes away some of the bad deeds that you have earned into your account. So it is almost like when you have an account and every day you make some five deposits into your account. That's going to be, exceptionally good for you. And when you are praying, Islam teaches us that we are presenting ourselves to the Almighty Allah. So we have an appointment with Him five times a day. Go before Him, present our case to Him, ask forgiveness from Him. So imagine if you have any big man that we consider, those that we consider as big in our societies, be they members of parliament, councillors, minister, or even the prime minister, and he gives you or she gives you the opportunity to call them five times a day. And each call you make, an X amount of money is going to be placed into your account. How many of us would miss such an opportunity? So that is one of it. But then, of the prayers, of the salat that we offer, There is one which is even more important and has a greater amount of reward. That is the Friday prayer. There is one hadith that is the saying of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he says that even on Friday, those who enter the mosque, the order in which people enter the mosque, it comes with certain proportional amount of blessings. For instance, the person who is first to enter the mosque gets a reward like somebody who has offered a camel for sacrifice. The second person to enter the mosque gets a reward like somebody who has offered a cow for sacrifice. The third person gets a reward like somebody who has offered a goat or a sheep. And it goes on and on and on. So this also goes to lay emphasis on the importance of the five daily prayers, particularly the Friday prayers. Another aspect of source of getting good deeds or reward is also through charity. Islam teaches us that whatever Allah the Almighty gives us, it is not for us alone. Others also have share in it. The poor, the needy, and also supporting the religion of Allah. That is also an avenue that we get reward for. Financial sacrifices, of course. When you give, you get in multiple dimensions. Service to humanity is also another form that we, another source that we get blessings for. Now, with all this said and done, if Allah the Almighty were to project each one of us, our account standing, our account status on any computer screen, or as I'm speaking, if one of us, either myself or any of us, if our records, our account were to be projected on the screen in terms of how much good deeds you have, how much bad deeds you have, I believe some of us will not sleep tonight. We will be praying throughout until maybe we fall asleep or we fall down dead. But then Allah the Almighty, being merciful, has kept this hidden from us and only encourages us to do more good deeds as possible as we can. There are several avenues. In fact, if you follow the Islamic way of encouraging you to do good deeds, they are so broad and huge. Every act, every step that you take towards your prayer, you get reward for it. Like you get up in the morning. As soon as you get up, there's a prayer that you say, a verbal prayer that you say, giving thanks to Allah the Almighty for having taken you from the situation, I mean, the situation of death into life. And then, as a Muslim, the first thing you do after you get up, you go to the washroom, you wash yourself, perform ablution, and make your way to the mosque to go and pray. Islam offers us several avenues. I have listed just four of them, but there are quite a number of them. And I think getting to the end, I will try to list some of the good deeds and bad deeds. Now, once a person dies, as I stated earlier, your account is closed. You can't add anything and you can't take anything out of it. This is how serious and dangerous now it becomes. Who knows when he or she will die? And who, if you don't know your account status, and you also know that you can die at any time, then we shouldn't let any opportunity to end good deeds pass by, no matter how insignificant it is. The Messenger of Allah once again has said in one of his hadith, he says we should save ourselves from hellfire, even if we have to give a piece of a date palm. I believe some of us, we are aware of date palm. It is almost like the size is almost like guinea. So he said that even if you have to give a piece of guinea to your friend or somebody who is in need of it, if you have to share, that is going to take you away from the hellfire. Now, there's one other hadith which says that even husband and wife, when you put food in the mouth of your spouse, you think you are just, you are showing how you caring and how much you love your spouse, but then that is also recorded in your favor as good deeds. There are quite a number of them. But then, as I said, once you die, the account is closed. However, there is one opportunity left. There is an exception. There is something in Islam which is called sadaqatul jariya. That is charity that continues to grow. This is the only way that when a person dies, even though your account is closed, you cannot do much good. But then some act of goodness you did is reaping some, benefit that comes to you. One of them is if you plant a fruit-bearing tree. For instance, you plant a mango tree. Islam teaches you that, it teaches us that even if you die and your records are not that straight, your account cannot be balanced. When people enjoy from the fruit plant that you planted, you get some reward being added to your records. And that can also facilitate your situation. Number two is when you build a house of worship. After you die, when people go in there to worship, to pray, you get some reward. Number three is when you have a righteous child who prays for you. After you are dead, the reward could come to you. So it's almost like in your lifetime, you made some investment and then you died before the investment matured. The proceeds of that investment definitely will be credited to your account. The difference with the physical account, the bank account, is that you cannot use it. The people you leave behind who are going to use it. But then in terms of the sadaqatul jariya, that is the charity that grows, you are going to enjoy it yourself. Now, I would also look at some aspect that Islam teaches us, that when we understand this and we begin to use it, when we understand the ups and downs of good deeds and bad deeds, and we begin to, live a life that would enhance our chances of getting good deeds, more good deeds, Islam says, "Wata'awanu alal birri wa taqwa," that we should help one another in also doing good. So first of all, you have understood what we are saying. And from today going, your intention is, I'm going to pluck one breadfruit and give to my neighbor. I would get reward. Islam says when you are walking on the road and you see something which is likely to cause harm to somebody, and you take it and put it on the side, you get a reward. Islam says that even when you meet a fellow human being and you smile, that alone is also charity. So as you understand it and you begin to utilize them, and by doing so, you stockpile your account with good deeds, Islam says, teach others also on how to do good. And then there is another reward for you. That is when you teach other people to do good and they actually do it, you get equal reward like they are doing without anything being reduced from what they get. I believe some of us are aware of some institutions that you, as an individual, you join them and then you get some benefits. Now they tell you that if you refer another person to join this institution, the benefit that the person gets, you also have certain percentage out of. You see, Islam is a realistic religion that can be applied to everyday life. As I said, you cannot compare these beautiful teachings with the concept of people being born with sin. That you are in this world, you came into this world, and for no mistake on your part, you are already given some sins. We don't know how much it is until you grow and become sensible, according to them, and declare just by word of mouth that this and this and this, now all the sins are wiped away. Is that what we see in our societies? That is not the case. The Bible says that the father shall not bear the guilt of the child, neither shall the child bear the guilt of the father. I believe, I think about 2, 3 weeks ago, when Maranatha Tarik was speaking about atonement, he explained this into details. Now, the question I want to ask us, when your parent dies without leaving any property, but then the parent ends up, owing somebody money, is there any court that can compel you, the child, to pay that debt owed by your father? There is no court. It is only when your parent, if they have property, then the court can either sell the property to facilitate that, settle that debt. But then if they don't have anything left, no court can compel a child. Maybe the child who might just, to save the honor of the parent might decide to pay. But then if they decide not to pay, you cannot be punished for what your father did. Why is it that when it comes to spirituality, your father, some father, that great great father that we never even knew, we never knew how the fruit was, we don't know how they ate it, and then surprisingly they commit sin and then we inherit it. But then whatever good deed they did, it is kept hidden from us. Islam is a religion that resonate with our intelligence, basically, and also wisdom. So with this said, I would also want to hint one important factor that sometimes most of us take for granted. When you commit an act of violence against a fellow human being, Islam teaches us to be patient, to be steadfast. Sometimes, even in the face of certain ill treatment, Islam encourages us to be steadfast, because also in steadfastness there is reward. The person who is committing an act of aggression against you, unknowingly, his reward could be taken from him and be added to your reward, to your good deeds. That is another important thing that we need to know also. So if those who deliberately cause harm to people, despite the fact that you are earning bad deeds, the little reward you have in your account could be transferred or could be given to the person that you are causing that harm to. And I think it is also in line with what happens in our societies. There are some cases that if you cause certain harm to certain people, a judge can find you, and then some amount be taken from you and be given to the victim as compensation for the whatever harm you might have caused to the person. Which means that we have to also be mindful of the way we treat people and also we deal with people. There are several acts of goodness the Holy Quran have stated, quite a number of them. I might not be able to go through most of them. But then, as I said, some of them are even like interesting. Just keeping yourself clean, Islam says, is also an act of good deed. You would get reward for it, because Allah the Almighty says he is clean, and then he loves those who are clean. He's pure, and he loves those who are pure. Controlling a person's anger, that is also an act of good deed. Having courage, that is also an act of good deeds. Good treatment of one's employees, that is also an act of good deeds. Enjoying good and forbidding evil is also an act of good deed. Giving true evidence, that is also an act of good deed. Feeding the hungry, forgiveness. In fact, being grateful, being humble, observing justice, treating the neighbor good. Each one of these. I mean, I think I have mentioned more than 15. So there are several avenues that Islam opens the door of Allah's mercy, forgiveness, and reward, that if we make use of them, paradise, as the hadith says, is going to be under the feet of, you know, the believers. Now, there are several acts which also constitute bad deeds or evil deeds. Among them being adultery, fornication, arrogance, backbiting, boasting, defamation, that is, you know, defaming people, drinking wine, alcohol, envy, extravagance, treachery of the eye, following that which a person has no knowledge about, gambling, and indulging in objectionable talks, that is also an act of bad deeds, nicknaming, giving short measure, suspicion, all this. In fact, there are quite a number of them, and there are some that are not mentioned here. But then I always say, when people ask me, how can they know whether this act is good and that act is bad? Allah's Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has said that always ask your heart. When you think of doing something good, your heart will tell you. Allah the Almighty has put some kind of consciousness in us, which always would trigger, almost like a motion detection, you know, device. It will trigger something in you and say, no, this is not good. But then to see it, you know, as Islam says, a person begins to know what is right from what is wrong around the age of 7. At that age, children begin to hide when they are doing certain things that are not good. You may not have told them that those things are not good, but then they begin to hide it because within them, there's some kind of guilt telling them that what they are doing is bad. But then when they are doing some act of goodness, they would want the parents to see and perhaps praise them for it. It is same with us as adults. Anything that when you are doing, you would want to conceal it, you wouldn't want others to see, think twice about it. It might definitely be an act of bad deed. But then any action that before doing, sometimes you would want to let people have a look at it so that they praise you, that definitely will be an act of good deed. So if we have this kind of realization, I believe the rest will be just stocking up on our accounts, so that on the day that we leave this world, our account balance remains in good standing. As I said, Allah the Almighty has kept the details from us. There are quite a lot that we can do. And imagine if the whole world, our society, our communities, if each one of us understood this, and we are all busy in doing good, what time would be left for somebody to plan evil about the other person? May Allah the Almighty enable us to be on the good side of the record. So I would end it here. And then maybe, inshallah, in the other sessions, we might take certain aspects of what we've said today and elaborate them even further. But then if you have any question, if this topic is new, particularly to our guests, if it is too new to you, strange to you, and you need some further explanations, you can always reach us, either myself or Malana Tariq, and we would, inshallah, give you whatever you need to have. May Allah the Almighty bless us. May we always pray for the world. May we pray also for the guidance of humanity in general. Every day that passes, some people, that it is very difficult to know what they think about. They are racing towards destroying this world. At the same time, they are very much racing to find out if life can be supported on other planets. How stupid. We know that this planet is the planet that we can live on. I mean, without any question, we want to destroy it, building nuclear weapons, sophisticated weapons, which aim is to destroy the world. And then we are also trying to spend billions of dollars to see if we can live on some of the other planets. So you see how awkward human beings have become. And it is for this reason that all of us have to pray that those that we elect, those that we give them the opportunity to lead us, we have to elect and select people who have some level of righteousness in them. If somebody tells me that there is no righteousness among those people who present themselves, then we are doomed as a society. May Allah bless us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
आशिक तेरा दिल दादा हूँ।